Okay, and I know the impending doom of the storm called Sandy may have caused some of the people we've invited to not show up today, but I can tell by looking around the room that everyone that I can see is a believer as far as I know. And so I want to throw out a quick suggestion before we dive into the Bible and our topic for this morning. It's something that some of you that are web savvy may have already seen on my blog or Facebook, Twitter, or whatever. Something that I want to call Each One, Reach One. All of us know somebody, at least one person, who is not yet a believer in Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, each one of us know at least one person who is not yet a believer. And what I believe is that they can benefit from prayer. We know from the Bible that it is God who gives us an ability to call out to Him to repent, right? It's God who provides us the gift of salvation. They can use your prayer. And so I want you to grab your phone, your watch, whatever it is that you use to set an alarm right now. You can do it. I know some of you are already overjoyed that there's Wi-Fi in here. Don't get distracted. Come on. I want you to get out your phone, your watch, whatever it is that you set an alarm with, and I want you to set an alarm for 1 p.m. Now, I'm not assuming that you're going to be asleep during my message and you need to be woken up before the movie starts. I want you to set an alarm for 1 p.m., and here's what I want to suggest that we do. I want you to write down the name of one person that you know that is not yet a believer. Now, my preference would be that that'd be someone here in Baltimore, but wherever God leads you, one person who's not yet a believer, and at 1 p.m., I want us to try today to pray for 1 minute. 1 minute for one person that doesn't know Jesus. And if you can pull that off today, and I want you to try it tomorrow too. I want to try every day. I want to start a new campaign. I'm not running for office. I'm running for souls. Sorry, that was too easy. I want to call it Each One, Reach One. We've talked about wanting to, as soon as we can, hit 50 strong here as a church, not just, you know, on Sundays, but in our small groups in our community, so that we can be a better service to our community, so that we can serve the city, and so we can reflect Jesus and do the things that God has put on our heart. We can move into a bigger room with no additional rent and all the other things that God has enabled us to do. But listen, it's one person at a time. If there's anything that Stephen, who passed away last Sunday, would say today, I think it's that. Stephen, who had lived a life of drug addiction and other issues in his life, came to know what it meant to be forgiven. And I think if Stephen could be here and stand before you today and reflect Jesus and leave you with one thought, it'd be pretty similar to this. Each one, reach one. 1 p.m., 1 minute to pray for one person. Yeah, sorry, you're in that kind of church. There are cheaper churches to go to. There are churches that won't ask for as much of your energy. And there's going to be times where I'm going to ask you to do things that are going to make you uncomfortable. There's a part of me that says sorry, but most of me just says, you got to deal with it. Right? God's wanting you to grow. Amen? Okay, I'd like for you to grab your Bibles this morning. We're going to turn to Colossians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles on the bookshelf in the room. Colossians chapter 3. Now, for me, that's page 962. 962. Everybody needs a fresh start, right? Everybody needs a fresh start. Jesus, John chapter 3, verse 3, introduces this new concept, a new word picture. He says, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow, Jesus, that sounds like a hardcore statement. Jesus, you are straight edge. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This born again, it literally means born from above, right? A fresh start, a salvation. I want to read to you from the passage from Titus that we've been using as kind of our text for this series. When God, our Savior, revealed His kindness and love, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is worth being excited about. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of His grace, He declared us righteous, meaning I'm in right relationship with God and with other people, and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. It's Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. It's our text. Salvation, fresh start. You know, what does this mean? What? Do you understand what it means that you're saved? I mean, do you have a functional understanding? Has the truth traveled from your brain into your heart? You've heard the quote, "The only truth you possess is that which you live." And how many of you know that you could come to a mental agreement that I think this salvation thing is possible and not live like it? Are you with me? Right? That's possible. Now let's open with a word of prayer before we go to Colossians chapter 3 this morning, because we all need help. Right? God, I thank You for Your great grace. Lord, I thank You that You love us and that even when we feel like we may not be able to understand, that You can help us. And so today I ask that You would send Your Holy Spirit afresh to guide us in truth, to help us understand what we're reading, to help us dig deeper into You and to what it means to be saved. I thank You for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we go to Colossians 3, I just want to bring a little bit more definition to what we're talking about when we talk about salvation, fresh start. The theological term is regeneration. Fresh start, a second chance at life. By turning away from our sins and turning to Jesus, we are provided an opportunity to be new. Here we say there's no perfect people allowed and we all need a fresh start. So a fresh start, being born again, what does it mean? To cause to be completely reformed or improved. To reestablish on a new basis. Right? It is a new beginning, a creative act of God. It's not deciding that you're a better person. It's not you trying to be a better person. Are you with me? You can't do it, you can't be it without the grace of God. Right? It is a creative act of God. A lot of people are talking about Sandy like she's an act of God. That's just because they can't figure a girl out. Your salvation, it's a creative act of the living God. This helps you too as you're trying to reach out to other people and trying to help them in becoming saved, right? Because you can't do it. Right? You can't make it happen. The results are up to God. It is a spiritual rebirth, spiritual renovation, renewal, recreation, restoration of things to an intended state. There is both new birth in your spirit, but there is also inside of you God bringing back, literally healing some of the things that have been broken in you that He had originally designed you to be. Do you notice that nowhere in this, nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in our definitions do we see that this is about God trying to make us all look the same, act the same, dress the same? I think that some people that do church, that's why they do church. They think, I will feel better about myself if I can be and act like those people. What are we talking about? I don't care what shape, what size, what color, what smell God made you. God made you unique. Right? Everyone in this room is unique. There is some amount of what happens in your salvation, a spiritual, functional reality that is God bringing you back to your intended state, to who you He created you to be before sin got in the way. Are you with me? This is important to understand. This is Keith. Keith just ran the Baltimore Marathon in flip-flops. Keith is not the smartest tool in the shed. Not the sharpest tool, whatever. Not only did Keith run the Baltimore Marathon in flip-flops, he set a Guinness World Book of Records. They were involved in the process. He came in 29th. He did it in 2 hours and 46 minutes. He made it harder than it needed to be. Hello? This just happened recently. You can Google Keith. You'll find him in these lovely pictures. That's actually Keith in his flip-flops. How many of you know that we can make our life harder than it needs to be? Do you know that what happens to a lot of people is that they come into contact with Jesus, they come to a place of salvation in a variety of different ways. I've known people that were high as a kite on a trip in the middle of the night in a golf course and called out to God, and He just rocked their world and they were completely delivered of all addictions. There are people where it seems like it took months or years. There are people that listened to a lecture. There's people that watched a video. There's people that were in religious ceremonies of other religions and called out to Jesus to reveal Himself to them, and He revealed Himself in a vision. People find Jesus in a lot of different ways. But one thing that I have seen, unfortunately, over and over and over again is people come into contact with Jesus and with this concept of salvation and then make it harder than it needs to be by trying to do it by themselves or trying to do it without the Bible. I don't need to be a prophet to look around this room and know that I and you have done this. Can we be real? Right? We've all, in some degree, to some extent, we have all done this. We've all tried to live out our salvation on our own. The little engine that could. Right? And without the help of the Bible. Now, what we're going to talk about today in Colossians chapter 3 is just one passage in the Bible that tells us how we should live. Right? So this is fresh start in this new life. Are you ready for the Bible? Okay. Some of you are already frustrated with me. Okay. So this is from Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 11. Okay? Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. In this new life, okay, this is your key phrase, and it actually means what it says here, okay? That's why we're using this, because Paul is writing to believers that he knew, right, in this city, people that he led to Jesus, and he's talking to them about how do we do this? How do we do this thing called salvation? How do we live this new life? In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile. Now, you got to understand, that was a big deal to them. Right? This whole ethnic thing in their cities, this is a big deal. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, also a big deal because you had people that were not born Jew that were trying to convert, and so actually as adults going through circumcision, which sounds like a silly idea to me. Barbaric, uncivilized. His uncivilized word, actually, there's another ethnicity, another ethnic word behind that that he's using that he's referring to. Slave or free. It doesn't matter, right? In this new life, it doesn't matter. Christ is all that matters. And He lives in all of us. That's good stuff. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Sorry, I didn't recognize humility there. I did the New England, you know, just a shout-out to our New England people that are about to get bombarded. Well, only Kristen gets this. Humility without an H. It's the New England, right? Humility. Gentleness and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Whoa, now we're talking crazy again. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which abides which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So Colossians 3:11-17. Now here we have some wonderful suggestions if you are starting fresh in your salvation or coming back to it, right? Okay? So number one, who people say you are doesn't matter. What's the first thing that he says? In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. Now, we understand today from a historical perspective that Jew and Gentile, this was not an ethnic thing. Sure, they were ethnically different, right? African-American, Caucasian, right? Yes, there are differences in ethnicity, but Jew and Gentile was different in a lot of other ways as well, right? God had come and chosen to reveal himself, which initiated the Hebrew nation, right? A lot of people don't realize that Abraham speaks Aramaic, but soon the whole Israelite nation, right, speaking Hebrew. They have their own language, they have their own culture, they have their own festivals, they have their own way of doing life. Whether they're in a desert or whether they're in a city, they are unto themselves. After what we have in the Bible, they added a bunch of their own stuff. They had already added a bunch of their own stuff when Jesus came, which was a part of one of the things Jesus was constantly saying to them. God said this, but you say this. Right? They had a claim to God. They had experienced the presence of God. And yet, if you, like we talked about the last two Sundays, in a read through the Bible in a year program, what you see constantly in the Old Testament is God reaching out to them and saying, I am your first love, and yet you have taken off like a prostitute. You are an adulterer. You are always sleeping around. This is what God says to them. Over and over and over, he says, your affection is not for me. You love other things more than me. And so Jews had developed not only their own culture, but their own identity based on the living God. Based on a thought that other people might not ever be able to access the living God. And yet we see many examples before Jesus of God reaching out to believers that were not born Jewish. It's a whole other subject. Paul, right from the beginning, who's born into this, says, listen, in this new life, it doesn't matter who you say you are, it doesn't matter who you were born, and it doesn't matter what other people say. Can you think of any difficult experience in your life that might have gone differently if you or the other people involved understood this? See, he doesn't just say Jew and Gentile. He talks about education and economic status as well. You know, there's some of us in this room didn't complete high school. And we've got people in here with more letters after their name than I don't know what, right? Multiple degrees and PhDs, and right? But and yet we're all here. Yep. Because we all stand in need of a Savior. Right. Are you with me? See, the church cannot be what it is supposed to be if we are caught up in our ethnicity, our economic status, or our educational status. Now, I've had the occasion of a job of 7.5 years traveling across the continental United States of spending many weeks where I was the only white face in the room. And I started to learn that it's not only white people that look down on each other. That it's not only white people that look down on the ones that don't have an education, that look down on the ones that don't have money. Am I talking to myself today? Right? It's not only in the white community. It's also in other communities. I started to learn that there are communities where race doesn't matter as much as money. Where there is a social identity within families of you've been living over there all these years, your family isn't worth anything because your family's never had anything. Now you just let me know if I'm not telling the truth. Now what does Paul say? In this new life, when I come to salvation, it doesn't matter. Jesus is the only thing that matters, right? Who people say you are doesn't matter. See, here's something that I believe. I believe that churches in the United States sadly do not represent the population ethnically because they have done stupid things to prevent an ethnically diverse congregation. See, I believe that the kingdom of God and the Bible, we don't need to pursue it. I'm not putting out on our sign that we're going to try to be an ethnically blended church. That's not the goal. We're trying to be a church that's bringing in people that don't believe in Jesus to believe in Jesus. Come on. See, I believe that my Bible says that diversity is in the seed. The seed that God plants does not prevent people from worshiping together for ethnic, educational, or economic purposes. That's a really good time for you to say amen. That's what's in the Bible. Now, obviously, I'm preaching to the choir. Just look around the room. Right? This is a passion for me because it's in the Bible. Right? We need to be careful to not do and say stupid things. Because God makes it so clear in this new life, who people say you are doesn't really matter. So we... Where did the time go? So we need to make sure that church on Sunday in our homes, people can walk in dressed different, smelling different, and feel comfortable. Right. Yeah. This is important. God chose you, clothe yourselves in mercy. You should be known, your temperament, how you walk, how you carry yourself. Mercy is that word of, I'm not going to give you the bad that you deserve. Number three, make room for each other's faults. Forgive. I'm sorry I took up way much too much time. I was going to go back and read each verse to parallel this, but we're going to pull these out of these verses. Make room for each other's faults. Forgive. Look around this room. The other people in this room are going to offend you. They're going to hurt you. Anyone that you do life with is going to hurt you. You've got to make room for it, and you've got to be ready to forgive. Positioned. Ready. I am anxiously awaiting the first time you hurt me so that I can forgive you. Sorry, where did I go? Okay, let Jesus' peace be a prescribed guide. And we do need to spend a little bit of time here. You may be familiar with the other translations that say, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, what does that mean? Let the peace of Christ rule. What that means is to keep straight. Let the peace of Christ keep your heart straight. To direct, to give you direction, to drive. A prescribed guide. I love that. God, your Creator, through Jesus, knew what you would need. He already wrote you a prescription. It's the love of Jesus. Let the peace that can only be found in Jesus be a prescribed guide. It tells you whether to turn to the right or turn to the left, to spend that money or save it. For conduct or action. Prescribed guide for conduct or action, an accepted procedure, an accepted custom, an accepted habit, a generally prevailing quality. Would people say about you that the peace of Jesus is a prevailing quality of you? It should be. See, if it's not, we need to spend more time in His presence. That means I need to spend more time where I turn off everything with a screen. I turn on some worship music. Some of you just need to find some. Open my Bible, get a pen and paper, and I spend time with Jesus. Hello? so that it becomes a prevailing quality of my life, a prevailing state. It's my state of being. The peace of Jesus should be my state of being. It's a mode. It is a regulating principle. When he writes, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, this is what he's talking about. Number five, you're called to live in peace and gratitude. This is so important. One of the things that Stephen really did, who passed away last Sunday, was he would write out what his salvation meant. Joe and I were in his room this week, and the back of his bedroom door, he had things that he had written out. And because Stephen struggled with digesting the Bible and what it had to say about the fact that he had been forgiven. His past life, his drug addiction, and other things that he did and said haunted him. And he had to process, he had to use scripture, memorize scripture, apply it to his own spirit so that deep within his own spirit, he could write things like, I am a conqueror. I am a child of the living God. It takes effort on your part to digest, to accept, to receive, to apply what God has said about you, what God feels toward you. And one way that you can do this is with gratitude, not just writing down scripture, but also writing down what are you thankful for. So another thing that Stephen would do, he would write down what he was thankful for. When was the last time that you wrote down what you're thankful for? Right? Write down what you're thankful for. We're called to live in peace and in gratitude. Number six, let the message about Christ fill your life. Let the message about Christ fill your life. Is the message, I know this is obvious, but seriously, please give this some time this week. Because I think sometimes we spend all this effort trying to not do and not be other things. Hello? Yeah, but instead what we need to do is just focus on Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Wait. How about just, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Some of you need to learn the art of biblical meditation. You talking about meditation up in this church? Meditation. You need to mentally, spiritually chew on the truth. Digest it. Spit it up. Get it back down again. Sorry, I'm trying to be disgusting, right? Let the message about Christ fill your life. Number seven, talk and live in a way that says thank you. Thank you. I have had really bad jobs. I have had really bad bosses. And one thing that the Bible has helped me do is to realize that I don't work for them, I work for Him. My attitude and how I come to work and how I go about my, even when I was a student and when I had extracurricular activities and when I go to work and I've got a really terrible boss, whether they say they're a believer or not, I don't work for them, I work for Him. So the Bible has some really real stuff to say. Talk and live in a way that says thank you. How do we do this? Get a running partner. Get somebody here in your life, someone that can run alongside you, that can walk you through it. And here's what you do. You sit down with your running partner and you just pick one topic. Some of you need to write down everything that you see right there. Take a picture with your phone. Get it? Right? You pick one topic and then you start with saying, what is one of those things I can do? Right? What's one thing I can do to work on one area? Right? And then you follow up with each other during the week, your running partner, you text each other, you call each other. How are you doing in that one thing? Does this make sense? You get a running partner, you get someone you can sit down, talk with, what's the one thing I can work on? And then you check in on each other. How are you doing? God doesn't want you to do this without the help of the Bible and without the help of the people that are around you. Amen? Let's stand to close in prayer today. If you need prayer today and you want prayer, we definitely here for you to pray. Chris, you can start. And we want to pray for each other, right? We're all in this together, amen? Sorry, let me try that again. We're all in this together, amen?
Amen.
Yeah, we're here to help each other. The Bible has great advice, great spiritual wisdom about what we should be doing so that we don't have to be trying to run a marathon in flip-flops.
Yeah.
I think I need to say that again. So that we're not trying to run a marathon in flip-flops.
Right.
I know that I myself have felt that way before, and I can't be the only one that has felt in my spiritual life, I'm running a marathon in flip-flops. I'm stumbling, I'm falling, I look like a fool, I don't know what I'm doing, right? God doesn't want you running a marathon in flip-flops. He wants you to walk with spiritual wisdom and with a running partner to help you. So the Holy Spirit is here for you today. We'll be happy after a closing prayer to pray for anyone's courageous generosity, a commitment. And today, if you will all just help me as we exit, you know, gather your children from the kids' ministry, we'll exit through the coffee shop doors, okay? We'll have the theater doors closed from now on. We want to exit through the coffee shop doors, okay? Let's close in prayer today. You can reach out your hand if you just need help in one of the areas that we talked about. God, I'm so thankful to you for the way that you have given us help. I'm thankful that through your word, you speak to us and you tell us what we should do in this new life. Where we should go, who we are, you speak to us. You help us understand that we've got to be a believer in Jesus before we can do. I pray that you really help us to grow in strength, to love on each other, to strengthen each other, to lift each other up, to be a blessing to each other. I thank you for it. I thank you for Stephen's life and for the example it is to us today. I pray that you would just bring strength and healing in this house today. In Jesus' name, amen.